Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said the difference between gossip and news is whether you hear it or you tell it. We appreciate the opportunity of coming with Bible meditations again. We're hopeful that as we study together from the Word of God, each of us will profit from that study. We're looking at an account of a young man coming to the Master concerning his salvation. You remember the record says he came running. That indicates that he was not casual about this matter. He was very concerned about it. When it comes to the matter of salvation, all of us ought to be concerned. This is not something that you just lay aside, because this involves life here and life hereafter. Sometimes we put emphasis on things that have to do with this life, life here. Well, certainly it's great to have a good life here. 1 Peter 3 and verse 10, Peter said, "He that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from speaking evil and his lips that they know no guile." If I look at that passage carefully, I can see that the Lord says it's possible to love life and have good days while we're here. And so that being the case, you and I want to prepare for life eternal. A person might have a good life here and lose his soul, not have anything to show for the other side. He might involve himself in things that he likes to do in this life, but wouldn't that be terrible if that were at the expense of eternal life? In 1 Timothy 4 and verse 8, Timothy says, "Bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and that which is to come." The passage isn't saying it's wrong to exercise your body. It's just saying look at the good that comes from bodily exercise and compare that with the good that comes from living godly. Godly living certainly is far more valuable because it refers not just to this life and making our lives better here, but it also refers to a life eternal in the presence of God. And so it makes things better on the other side. Well, keeping that in mind, we can understand why this young man would come running. He wants to know, what must I do to inherit eternal life? We've already dealt with the fact that his question was legitimate. He wanted to know what to do, even though there are many in our world today who are trying to discourage us from doing anything in regard to our salvation. We have made this point repeatedly on Bible meditations. The point is that I could not do anything that would cause God to have to save me and that I would earn salvation for myself. But all of that doesn't mean for a minute that there's nothing for me to do. I have something still to do. I must do what God requires of me to do. I mentioned a passage the other day in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 5. "For by grace are ye saved." But now drop down to verse 8, and let's look at what he says following that. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." That's 8 through 10 of Ephesians 2. But now notice, we're saved by grace through faith. When I say we're saved by the grace of God, I'm talking about what God did to bring about our salvation. Jesus died on the cross to redeem us, and so we're saved by the grace of God. We don't earn it. He certainly did that without my doing something to deserve his doing it. But then he says, through faith. And that's the process by which I accept what Jesus did on the cross for me. I certainly have something to do. I have to accept that redemption that he has offered to mankind. Could you imagine a man who's out in the river drowning, and someone throws a rope to him, and he says, I want to be saved without my doing anything? Well, that would be foolish, wouldn't it? That's the kind of picture we have when people tell us there's nothing you can do regarding salvation. Jesus threw a rope out to us, as it were, telling us, believe and be baptized. But some have backed off and said, I want to be saved without my doing anything. I want to be saved without doing anything that anybody could say I've earned my salvation. Friends, if I accept the rope, I'm not earning my salvation. And if I repent and am baptized, I'm not earning salvation. I still must say, I'm an unprofitable servant, Luke 17 and verse 10. Therefore, salvation is by grace through faith. But someone objects, preacher, doesn't the verse say, not of works? Well, yes, it does. But my question is this. Are all works excluded by that passage? Well, if somebody says yes, all works are excluded. Do you know what just went out when you said that? John 6 and verse 29 says this, this is the work of God, that you believe. All right, according to the argument, if all works are excluded, then believing on the Lord is excluded from redemption. Now, I'm sure you can see that. The fact is, there's a difference in kinds of work. There are works which are the work of God, John 6, 29. There are also works which are works of man's boasting. Now, which is Paul referring to when he tells us not of works? Well, all you have to do is read the rest of the passage and you see. Not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, we do not boast of our redemption when we do the work of God. If we came up with our own scheme of redemption, we would boast of that and say, the Lord owes me salvation. But Paul says, no, it's not of that kind of works. Works of God, certainly, but not the works of boasting. He says in verse 10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. It would be just as logical for me to reason that a person doesn't have to do anything in living the Christian life in regard to eternal salvation as it would to argue that he doesn't have to do anything in order to obtain salvation. Our salvation, then, according to Paul, is by the grace of God and through our faith, through our doing what God commanded for us to do. Someone said, preacher, how do you know faith involves doing? Well, a casual study of the second chapter of the book of James would reveal this. If a person has faith, he does something. James says, show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. How do people know that I have faith in God? By what I do. The Bible is just filled with passages that confirm this idea. How was Noah justified? By faith? Yes. Did he work? Yes, he built an ark. How was Abraham justified? By faith? Yes, indeed. Did he do anything? Yes, he left his countrymen because God gave the instruction to do it. He offered his son in sacrifice because God gave that instruction. We do appreciate being with you today and remind you that it was Jesus who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." We now return you to our announcer.